Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And unfortunately, we seem to be having communication problems tonight, so I'm not joined by any other astrologers right this second. But hopefully they will be joining me soon. Normally, it's Mark Woltz and Heather Roan Robbins. And Mark is an astrologer in New York, and Heather is an astrologer in Minneapolis. She was in North Dakota, and I have to think about where is she living now. So she is out there in the Wild West, which is they're having a lot of floods and rains and stuff. But I didn't get an email saying she wasn't coming. And Mark is here in New York, and I didn't get an email from him saying he wasn't coming. So I'm assuming they'll be joining us, and perhaps they were having trouble getting in, because I had trouble getting in. I don't know. You'd swear Mercury was retrograde, and it's just not the fun thing that we normally expect on this lovely day. So this is the radio show where we talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the heavens, so you can plan, work with, and describe the energy. And we also work a bit with people calling in with questions or writing in with questions with ideas about things that they'd like to see happen or have take place. So our job tonight is to, kind of cover what's going on, and hopefully they'll call in and join us, and we'll have a threesome instead of just me all by myself going, hi, how are you? Okay, so what we find with astrology is we watch what's going on in the sky above, and we watch what's happening on the earth below, and we find in that combination that there's this little magic that happens, and we watch the heavens to see what they say so that we can see what is going to happen here on earth. And one of the things that happens with astrology is there are these things called transits, and they meet, and the planets meet in the heavens and dance, and then they change direction and dance, and we watch that planet dance. So tonight, or this week, I guess, we have a number of really interesting dances. Last week we had what was called a new moon, or a full moon rather, and we also had a fall equinox, which is the beginning of the fall season. So we cast a chart for that, and we have this whole new energy about the season ahead of us. And we want to watch what that season looks like, how it feels, how it's going to begin. And to look at that, we look at the Libra Ingress chart. Now, what's happening in the sky right now is there is no fire, meaning the fire people, especially the Aries, the Libras, and the Sages, but or anybody who has fire planets, there's nothing in the heavens that's helping those fire planets work. There's a lot of water up there, which means everybody's extra emotional and kind of more sensitive and environmentally like, that kind of whiny energy where they're just kind of feeling like overwhelmed and overdone and overcooked. The other thing that's happening is there's six conjunctions in the Libra Ingress chart. Now, what a conjunction is a new beginning. So we see in that chart six new beginnings in areas of your life based on the planets meeting up with each other in the heavens and saying, hey, let's start a new story. Now, this week, we have two of them taking place, and they're taking place actually in signs that are normally pleasant, but right now they're going to be a little tougher because those planets are in signs they don't particularly like. You know, there's planets have favorites, just like you do. You know, you like your Aunt Susan, but you hate your Uncle Bob. Planets have places they like better than others do. So they're not that they're in a bad place, but the sun, which is normally how we shine and see ourselves and are really out in the world and kind of creative, the sun is really active in saying, okay, let's figure out how to do this and how to get out there in the world in a bigger, brighter way. And then we have a lot of the energy of the Saturn, which is the restriction and how we get no and we get told no and you can't have it and yada, yada. And Saturn is in the place of saying, no, you can't have that. You know, sorry, you can't have it. Not working for me. Not possible. So we've got the no joining with our light force. So we want to go forward, but we're going to get a no. But we're also going to end a cycle where we say, okay, we're finished with that cycle. We're ready to go forward and not have it be the same cycle that it was. we're ready for a whole new energy, we're ready for a whole new adventure. And when we see that, we really move forward. So I think I see Mark popping in. Let me see if this is him. Hello, is this Mark?
Hello?
Hello, hi, no, you're Mark. Mark, I thought you popped in, I thought you were Mark. Okay, I'll take callers in a little while. And, you know, it's hard. I'm on this caller ID. I don't know what his phone number is, because when he calls me on his regular phone, I have Heather's phone number here, so if Heather calls in, I can see her. But Mark, I don't know where he is. That wasn't Mark. That was a girl's voice. I can just tell this is going to be like a heck of a show. All right. So anyway, Sun-Saturn joins this week. And so what that marks is an ending. We get to a point where we say, I'm finished. I'm done. I don't want to do it. I'm over with. I'm over it. I'm over you. I want to get out of here. And then also Venus joins with Mars, which is, again, the similar energy. I want to get out of here. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm over it. I'm over you. So we've got these two ending energies that are very, very strong that are part of what are called conjunctions. So they start a new cycle and they end an old cycle. And they're big. And so that's happening this week. The other thing that's happening is Mercury is very, very active, meaning he's highly communicative. And he's also in this really loud noise voice way. Okay, I'm going to try again and see if this one's Mark. So weird. Hello, are you Mark? Hello? Nope, okay. Didn't answer. All right. I apologize. I can't control the world. This is one of those wonderful, wonderful days. Well, anyway, so we have this these two conjunctions this week, and what their purpose is to make us wake up. And they also help us end a cycle and move on to the next. So we're in an ending cycle, and we're getting ready to move on to the new. And we also have Mercury, very, very active. He's in the last degrees of Virgo, and then he goes into Libra. So he's going to be going through that T-square. Remember, any planet gets to the end, gets to a new sign, sets off that T-square that we've been working with. So Mercury is really full of information this week. So you really want to pay attention to what you learn, who you learn it from, and how it communicates, and what happens, and what the process is, and how it's set up, and what the deal is. Because Mercury right now is in Virgo, and he's not making aspects to anything in the new, on the ingress, but now he's going to go through that T-square, set it off, talk it up, make it wake up. And then we move into the next energy of him going into Libra, where he gets very, very intense because he's answering to Venus and Scorpio. Now, Venus is going to start to slow for her station, which is next week. And one of the things we know we're having is 100 days of Venus in Scorpio. So that's why everybody's being weird about money. That's why people are being weird in relationships. That's why people are kind of feeling like, you know, I'm kind of feeling a little pressed on this. I'm kind of feeling like I don't have enough money to pay you. I'm kind of feeling like, or juggling, you know, juggling their value, juggling how they're valued, or are they valued? And that whole energy is really very dominant and running around in the heavens between now and January. I'm going to take a sip of water because I'm talking a lot. Excuse me. And when we watch that energy shift and change, we really want to pay attention to the Venus energy and to really see how it shows up. So it's very powerful, very potent. We also have the moon is in Taurus tonight, which is normally the sign of creation and energy and partnership. And it's going to finish being in Taurus. And I don't know where my calendar is, of course. Oh, it's in Taurus today. I think it's over at my table. Hang on one second. This is not running well. What the heck? All right. Sun's in Taurus. Our sun's in Libra. Moon's in Taurus. Both ruled by Venus. Both passionate. And the sun right now goes void at 11:02 tonight. So here we are in a void moon, which is why this show is fun. And then it goes direct tomorrow morning after midnight in Gemini. So it's in Gemini on Tuesday and Wednesday, separating aspect, saying it wants to leave things behind and move on. Then on Thursday, it goes into Cancer in the evening, or in the morning, rather. And Cancer moon on Thursday and Friday is a lovely aspect. So it's got a nice closing aspect of a sextile to Mercury, giving good information. And then on Saturday, the sun the moon is in Cancer in the morning, and then it goes into Leo in the afternoon, again with a closing aspect of an opposition, and an opposition on Sunday in Leo. So it's an opposition to Neptune saying, let's separate, let's part. So the merging days are Monday, fights and arguments, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then very creative connections, Thursday, Friday. So if you want to separate from stuff, do it tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then forward into the week. We also like the energy of the as Mercury hits that T-square and sets it off, he's going to really wake it up. So we have the conjunction of the Sun to Saturn on the 30th, and that kind of says, okay, ending an old cycle, starting anew. And then the next day we have Mercury talking to Jupiter saying, okay, let me see this clearly. And then on Saturday he talks to Uranus saying, okay, I'm breaking free, because he's in the last degrees of Virgo. Then he goes into Libra on Sunday the 3rd, and Venus and Mars join on Sunday the 3rd, starting a new cycle around relationships. So basically we have a breakup energy Tuesday, Wednesday. We have a merger and connection energy where we find out new things, you know, and then we start a new process and a new cycle of relation. So it's very big. It's a very big week. Got a lot of information in it and a lot of understanding about how these things work, because Venus in Scorpio really wants us to get really clear about what's most important to us. And if we're not in the mode of being what's most important to us, it says, no, that's not important. I don't like that. I want something else. And she's very, very assertive and very clear that this is not the proper thing for me. Now, when she goes into Scorpio, or now that she's in Scorpio, she's going to go back into Libra, right? And as she goes forward, she's going to open up this whole new direction and a whole new way of thinking, and then she turns around again and goes back across into Scorpio saying, okay, let me go back and revisit the stuff that I thought I wanted. And she kind of reconnects that whole story. Because remember, she went into her shadow in the beginning of September when Mercury was retrograde. So she had an idea then, but maybe she's changed her mind now. Maybe that idea was a good idea, but it wasn't big enough, bold enough, or it wasn't clear enough. And now she's gotten a little clearer on what she wants, and now she's actually ready to say, okay, this is what I want to do, this is what it looks like, and how do I get there? Okay, and that's the place that she's in right now. So it's kind of an interesting time, because with all this water in the sky, we are finding that we are exceptionally emotional and passionate. At the same time, we're making emotional decisions about our vision for ourselves. And we have to honor the fact that in making those emotional decisions about the vision for ourselves, that it's a good thing, that it actually works for us, and that it actually makes us happy. And that's the key, is what makes you happy. And not manipulating the other guy to get them to make you happy, because Venus in Scorpio can be a little manipulative, but it is about giving them permission to create. I think I see Heather there. Heather?
Hello.
Hi, Heather.
Yes.
How are you?
I've been on the line waiting on my Vonage line, but you don't recognize it. So, sorry about that.
I didn't see which phone number it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had, you know, my phone line has been like your radio line tonight, so apologize.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Yes.
So what do you see in the sky
tonight,
summary.
Huh? You're giving a wonderful summary of this. This really interesting recent, the way the Sun conjunct Saturn and squares Pluto, that has been cooking us. It's coming to do this. Sun is at 4 degrees of Libra now, coming to conjunct Saturn. It's about to square Pluto and is still within orbit, but leaving its opposition to Uranus and Jupiter. And we talked last week about a misuse of power, or wondering how power was used. We're needing to be empowered and watching disempowerment. And I noticed in the headlines here that 7 pacifists that are working with international relief organizations were raided by the FBI this weekend.
Oh, wow.
And and also a few in Chicago, and there's great protests about it, and, you know, there's interesting points on either side. But I'm seeing.
So what
this,
happened? Tell me again. I didn't hear that.
Seven, you know, nice kind of. They look like, you know, good, nice liberal people that work with international relief organizations that work for political prisoners in other countries. But work with some agencies that might have ties to terrorist organizations, according to the FBI. Had their house raided, all of their phones and computers confiscated, and all their papers here. And it, you know, there's huge protests about that happening here, or great turmoil about that here. But that seems to me right in line with what this equinox described that we've just experienced that will continue to echo. And the effect of Venus and Mars and Scorpio, that there's this, the, you know, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean it's not true, you know, but it's...
Often it is.
But that, but that the secretiveness and the curiosity of finding ways so that we don't raid the files of our beloveds, but we do deal with the worries and the concerns and the looking on the dark side that can come up right now. It's pretty good focus. I mean, Venus and Mars are conjunct, so these emotions are strong, but generally positive, and people aren't recording, you know, the general atmosphere as being way off.
Right.
But there is an increase in the number of shootings around the country when someone does go off.
Right.
Several parties last weekend exploded into shot.
Well, we had the shooting in the universities, too. Yeah.
Right. And my, there was one in Seattle where the matriarch of the family just went off and shot four family members and herself.
The matriarch?
Yeah, an older matriarch.
Wow, usually it isn't the matriarchs, not to be sexist, but it's usually the guys with the guns. Sorry.
Right, guys,
I didn't mean to be insulting, but, usually you hear about them killing people. Huh?
A woman came running out screaming, "My mother's gone crazy." Yeah, and it was seven blocks from where my daughter lives, so I was watching it very carefully.
Wow.
I've noticed that when people start to doubt, or when they start to go to their particular dark side, their concern, their worry, their obsession, their excitement, but their wherever their hook is, they tend to spiral down quickly and have a trouble moving off of that. So I'm asking people to do really good emotional hygiene right now, to really notice where their thoughts are going, and if they start to hook on or obsess on something, to choose very carefully where they put that Scorpio focus.
Yes.
And if the hook is uncomfortable, they might consider hooking themselves to something else rather than staying in that. You know, Scorpio is very much a fixed sign. And which is lovely if the fixed signs are in a good place, but difficult if we're fixed on something hard. So I'm just noticing this here. And we're seeing, you know, some of that in the political commentary as well. But it's, how do we help it move to a quieter place?
Well, do you think it's going to get quieter? I think it's going to get nastier myself.
I agree with you. I'm not liking what next weekend looks like.
Why not?
Because I am seeing, I'm pulling up the reviews of that. When I, hold on, will I pull up the progressions? Or the transits for next week. I was watching as the Sun conjuncts Saturn, and we head into and Mercury opposes that Jupiter and Uranus, as Mars forms a sesquicentennial to Jupiter. And those are short but intense aspects, just as the Sun conjuncts Venus. So Venus and Mars conjunct. So there's a lot of emotional fuel lying around.
A lot of emotional fuel. Yeah,
a lot of emotional fuel. Mercury opposed Uranus is not a time when we tend to be sane thinkers. You know, our minds can go run off down the wrong track. They can change our minds and make into good changes of our minds. It can help if people are stuck in a mindset that they want to let go of and to consider something new.
Right.
But it can also send people barreling down the road after a wrong and contentious with that Mars Jupiter sesquisquare, a contentious place. So I have a feeling that most of us will just may have the energy to, you know, rake the leaves in our yards or do something that we haven't wanted to do, because that energy is also good for that.
Lay my kitchen floor.
Yeah, but it exactly. But it may also be something that is that if a problem starts to go south, or tensions are building up, or the election arguments are increasing, that they can get pretty nasty and illogical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so just ask people to step away if people start winding out, rather than try to engage it while these planets are so volatile next weekend.
Right, right. Well, and I think we forget, you know, we think of Mars and Venus as being fun, and it can be. I mean, it truly can be a good time. And we go, oh, yeah, that sounds great. But it also, the union of them is taking place on an interesting fixed star. It's taking place on Vindimatrix, which is, of course, the Widowmaker. So when the conjunction takes place, the gatherer of the grapes, the son of, you know, he was Lemos, I think I'm saying that wrong. Planted a vine, and he fell and broke his neck, whereupon he placed him among the stars. So it is about the, you know, getting drunk and hurting yourself star. But it also is the star of saying, you know, what can you do to cause things to end? So it's watching things end and becoming widowed or leaving things behind. So it's an energy that we want to kind of pay attention to over the next week or so, because this is an energy of we're going to be saying, okay, I'm ending that thing that I was previously committed to, because Saturn Sun says I'm leaving something behind. Now, admittedly, it happens once a year, so it's not like a huge, horrible aspect. But Venus and Mars are joined at the same time, and they're in Scorpio, so they're ending something too. So there's a lot of energy this week around endings, in the sense of, okay, I'm ready to leave and move on to something else.
That's definitely what that Mercury opposed Uranus can bring.
Right.
And endings, letting go of something that we've been holding on to and need to let go of.
Right. And it can also bring really interesting news that makes us a little crazy, that we then go, okay, I can't take it anymore, I got to leave, right? And you got to kind of say, okay, there we go, that works for me.
Uh-huh.
And giving it permission to show up the way it's going to show up, and then saying to it, okay, now that you've shown up this way, great, but, you know, I have all this stuff over here, can you help me with it? Because that's the other energy.
Uh-huh.
It's got a lot of drive to get things accomplished, because the Mars is really focused. And he wants to make Venus happy. So Venus says to him, can you go over and help them? It's a very helpful energy for clearing through things. So I think that that part, I think, is not a bad piece of it. But I'm not looking forward to it, you know, I have to say. So,
yeah,
it
can be a little tricky. If there's any relationship issues around, it's a good week to reassure one another and to not play with any temptation to make someone jealous. I find that with the Venus and Mars and Scorpio that if people are slightly miffed at someone they love, they're tending to move into a withholding position.
Right.
And start, you know, pretending they don't need the person and withdrawing.
Right.
Which may feel safer, except that that will trigger all of the
other
jealousy, you know, fears of abandonment, and get them, their prickles up. And we have a conflagration where it could have just been, hey, I'm a little miffed, can I have a hug now?
Right.
Would have solved the problem.
Would have solved the
problem. So it's important to be, you know, I was studying, I did a talk at the local NCGR chapter this last weekend. And
oh, cool.
It was great, spiritual crisis in regular aspects to from the outer planets, Chiron and his wife. That at the asteroid that I've been working with, whose name I can never quite pronounce, like Cardalus. And I am, it's very interesting work with her new chart. I'll pull up her name exactly. I was noticing that when Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, the three brothers, were given their special implements, Zeus was given a thunderbolt. Neptune was given his trident with the hooks on him, so which is why he's so good at addictions and hooks. And Pluto was given the helm of invisibility. And I thought that that helm of invisibility described so much the Pluto-ruled Scorpio's tendency to be invisible or to hold back or to be inscrutable and to on the good side, it is the part of Pluto that and Pluto-ruled Scorpio that can ask for privacy when we need to do deeply transformative work and look cool as a cucumber to the outside world while we're dying and being born on the inside. You know, that
right.
Scorpio can hide us, that helm of invisibility can work for us if we do want to run under the radar.
Right.
The difficulty can be when we choose to pull back and then wonder why everybody is misunderstanding what we mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing with this aspect that, you know, people starting to withdraw when they're feeling a little hurt and then being so hurt that no one goes in after them.
Right.
So asking for what they actually need rather than playing games with that is going to be really essential to keep this clean and not a problem. Now, Venus and Mars and Scorpio also like a challenge. So on the other side of that, if you're in the early stages of relationship, it's perfectly okay not to just disappear or withhold, but to be playing a little hard to get, to be a little, to be excited by what else that you are doing, and not to play a game with it, but to really focus on what else that you are doing and be a bit of a challenge and a mystery. There's a difference between that and withholding on purpose and depriving somebody of the love they've come to expect.
Right. Wow. And I think we have to understand, too, that Scorpio energy does want to play games.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's provocative. It's a provocative energy. And so we can find ourselves being provoked, not necessarily by real things. I mean, they can be real things, too. I don't want to minimize it. But it also can be, we can really have a reaction that, well, I think they're trying to do that. They're doing that to me on purpose. And perhaps they are, and perhaps they aren't. But then say to them, well, what I need you to do for me is this. Do you think you can do it? And then, you know, when they go, oh, you want me to do that? You go, yeah, can you think you can do it? And they go, yeah. And then when they don't do it, then you can kind of say, you know, I thought you said you were going to do this for me. Because a lot of times what happens with Scorpio is we think we're communicating. And I had a guy here the other day. He was a very nice man. He was talking about this woman who'd given him this gift as an astrology reading as a gift. And he said, you know, she tells me that she thinks of me and I should know that I'm thinking of her. And I do. I hear her. But at the same time, I really like to talk to her in person just to validate what I'm hearing, you know. Like, does she uh-huh, big uh-huh. on, like, I'll send you a message and, you know, I'm thinking of you and that means I'm thinking of you. We don't need to talk all the time. And he was like, but I really like to know that I'm really hearing what I think she's sending. And I said, well, I think that's a reasonable thing to ask her, you know. Like, you uh-huh. need to have more communication rather than the silent, quiet type. You know, where you're just gazing at each other's eyes, you know, like you want to actually know what's going on. And I find with Venus and Scorpio, people really want to know what's going on, but they have a little trouble saying, I really want to know what's going on. Can you tell me? Because they feel like that makes them feel vulnerable or they're showing their vulnerability. So, yeah. Those Scorpio signs, very complex, let me tell you. Give me an easy Aries any day. Plain, straightforward, shoot from the hip. They tell you what they think. They say what they mean what they say.
And they like it when other people do, too.
Yeah. But not for Aries till the summer, till the spring. We got a lot of Aries in April, but right now.
But you've been telling us about the joys of Venus and Scorpio.
Oh, I love Scorpio, yeah. No, I totally. I mean, it's where my Venus is. I'm having fun. I mean, I am in one sense. In another sense, I'm totally not having fun. But I'm getting a lot accomplished, even if I don't feel like I am. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. Well, I'm doing a lot of stuff, even if it doesn't show right this second, because it's happening behind the scenes. But where would we go?
So we have one letter that came in to us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And do you have anybody on the line tonight?
I have three people on the line.
Wonderful.
Well, let's pull up one of the people on the line, and then we'll get the letter guy. All right, 585. See if they're there. 585, how are you? Who are you?
Hi, I'm here. You thought I was Mark earlier, but I'm still here.
Oh, thank you.
Good.
Thank you for hanging in there.
Maybe you were Mark, sorry. But I was like, I need my Mark and my Heather.
Well, that's okay. No, I totally got it. It's just that the line had hung up on me twice before.
Oh, really?
So,
wow.
The phone lines are very screwy right now,
and I had trouble signing in earlier, too. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Make it really hard for what we want.
I totally get it, and I thank you so much. I my life is in hell right now, and I really need some guidance. 2-14-51 Chicago, Illinois, 9:06 a.m.
9:06 a.m. Chicago. Okay.
And I keep trying to tell myself that this too will pass, but it just keeps piling on top, on top, on top, on top. I'm at the end of my Saturn return. Stuff is happening with Saturn. Stuff is...
Pluto's on your Chiron.
Pluto's on my Chiron. It's also aspecting my Uranus.
And Uranus is coming up to oppose your Saturn. Has already hit it once. And Pluto's squaring your Saturn.
And it's like, it's not just in one area.
It hits off your natal T-square. Yeah, it hits off your natal T-square. You have a cardinal T-square with Chiron at 0 Capricorn, Uranus at 5 Cancer,
and
Saturn at 1. And so you're being sort of rung like an auto harp chord, rung like a bell. And, you know, you have some really nice aspects in your natal chart with the Moon, Saturn, Mercury, Grand Trine in air signs. So you're not, this is sort of out of left field and very different from the rest of your chart. You've got Venus, Mars, and Jupiter conjunct in Pisces, so you feel everything.
Yeah.
And you feel it deeply. And it affects you from the bottom up, and you feel everything when everybody else is going through it. And Venus and Mars and Scorpio are just probably cranking up the emotions level for you all across the board.
Yeah.
So can you give us a specific question about how we can help you here?
Yeah, I have a very specific question, and I'll be as brief as I can about the background. It's work-related.
With your Saturn being taking the most crunch right now, yes, I can imagine it is.
And I knew it was coming, and I've been in devoted service for over a year to my favorite 97-year-old, whose granddaughter I have known for a number of years, and whose son, reflected in my Saturn, has been a little difficult to deal with, but by and large, the whole year has been really great. I knew this change was coming up, but he treated me very unfairly in the end of my work with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found out about it today. And I have written an email and
Hold on. You've been taking, with your lineup, nice lineup in the 12th house, you've been taking care of an elderly woman.
Yes.
And the family was not, and the man who feels like a difficult being from the get-go was resentful of you in some way or not a particularly good
at this. He seemed to be,
And ended up screwing you after his mother died. Is that correct?
Well, she's not dead. They're making a transition, and he let me go with only a couple hours notice and gave some of my last possible hours with her to other staff members. And I just found out about it today. And I have written this email, and I have rewritten it, and I have rewritten it, and it is professional, and it is clear, and it is to the point, and I am worried about sending it, and if I send it, when would be the best time?
Right. Does he hold the purse string?
He does. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right. And so are you expecting to, is the goal of this letter to help you feel better because you spoke fairly and were heard, or because you expect to get him to change the outcome and give you severance pay?
Well, that's part of the question. The very last line deals with severance pay, letting him know that I've never had a so sudden a change. First of all, I wanted to know that I know he's done this. He lied to me, and it became it was revealed to me just today that he lied to me. And I, you know, I'm very much on the fence about whether to keep this last line in here about the severance pay. Mostly, I wanted to know that I know he lied to me. I mean, I can't expect him to acknowledge my devotion to his mother. That's a separate entity, and she and I did real. But I just feel so fairly unfairly treated by this man.
Well, so is
and
his mother.
I said,
so is his mother. My intuition, picking up on them, says that he resented any money spent on his mother. And
well, money.
Yeah. But it would not. It's the money that will come to him if she dies before she spends it.
I know. But,
and that's what I'm hearing.
He's had various stories, you know, several months ago he was saying if she lives 5 more years, there'll be trouble with money, and we don't need any of her money, and now he's crying poverty, and that's
mm-hmm.
just all kind of aside. I'm really wondering, A, should I send this email, and B, what can I expect the kind of outcome to be? I mean,
I'm hearing a very mixed meaning from you. I think that you need to be, what I'd like you to do is write 3 separate letters and see if you occurred on this, because the energy is so quick to fight back that what you say is going to be careful. My suggestion would be you need to write what you really want to in your heart to him and write it all out, shoot from the hip, burn that letter. Send it magically, send it on the sub-ether. The second letter, I'd like to see you write him and just say, excuse me, I was very devoted to your mother, and normally when I'm let go, I'm given notice and severance package. I didn't get anything here. Is there any way we can change that? And depending upon his response, then tell him what you want him to know. And you might just very gently and kindly in there with the writing him as if he could step up to the plate and be a good person. Like, I know you didn't mean to, and maybe you didn't know how much I do this, and maybe you've never had to deal with this before. So, you know, you don't know that normally DAs that have been so loyal aren't let go without a little notice and a goodbye package. And so speaking to his better nature. And if he does not respond to that, then you can feel free to tell him what you want him to know. But if you sound indignant and attack him and make him feel bad and defensive, you can forget getting any money out of him.
No, this isn't this email is not a flaming, you know,
It doesn't matter. You've got a defensive person who's feeling guilty. Venus and Mars are Scorpio, are in Scorpio, and people are reacting intensely.
Yep.
So maybe it's fine, but I want you to really look at it as if you were a guilty person and look at the letter. Does the letter speak to you of someone who thinks you've been bad, or do they just... Are they speaking to you and expecting you, you know, kind of guilt-tripping you into being good? See what I mean? I don't know what the letter is. I'm sure that you wrote nothing that wasn't absolutely essential. And with your moon in Gemini, your need to communicate is probably louder than your need for any money from this. And so you may choose to skip that step and just let him know, be honest with him. I just know that if you really are honest with how you feel, that he will clam up and get harder to get anything out of rather than easier. So I don't know if you want to go through the step of trying to lean in on him a little bit to get yourself taken better care of.
I need him to know that I know what he did. Here's this
right.
man who shows himself to the community as this upstanding citizen, and he lied to me. And he screwed me out of my last few days in this wonderful relationship with his 97-year-old mother and 16 hours worth of work, which is really an aside compared to the rest of it.
I know. And if you just want him to know that, then I would say any time after next weekend would be helpful.
Next weekend.
After next weekend. We were talking on the phone before about the misuse of power that's going on right now.
Yeah, I've been listening.
And how people are kind of really jerking each other's chains. And we don't see it all the time, but where it's coming out, it's quite volatile.
Strong.
Right.
Yeah. What'd you say, Anne? I'll let you take this.
No, it's quite strong, you know. Uh-huh. And in your case, it's in the seventh house of open enemies. So, you know, do you need a reference? Do you need to... You want to be able to say, I worked for this family for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you work for an agency? I don't know if you're privately employed, but Venus Mars.
No, I'm private. This is totally private.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So do you need a reference because you've worked with them for a while?
I wouldn't ask him for the reference anyway. It'd be his granddaughter who is a nurse and has been my friend for years, and I'm feeling very tender about my connection to her granddaughter as well as to her. But I'm really having trouble swallowing what feels like mistreatment. And that was a Scorpio thing, too, I think.
It was mistreatment. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was. It was badly handled, and he did a crappy job.
Mm-hmm.
And probably if you look at his chart, he has a moon in Scorpio, okay? Because he's getting triggered to be a little crazy and a little mean. Now, when you're dealing with a mean dog, you don't go and yell at them and throw things at them. You basically kind of put some food out and try and be nice.
And walk away. Yeah.
He's a mean dog. And so you know what he did. He knows what he did. And, you know, what I like to do in situations like this where I really want to say something to the person, but it's really not appropriate for me to blast them, right, or to, you know, write a nasty email or to do whatever.
This
I like
is not to flaming.
Huh?
I'm not flaming him.
No, I know.
I'm very specifically expressing my disappointment and confusion over X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's why I want you to write that letter with no holds barred and release that letter. And send it through the subether. He'll get it better there than he would if he read it.
No,
in the letter that you actually write him, do let him know that you know that he lied. But I would just be careful about putting him on the defensive if you ever need anything from him. It's just the energy is really strange right now. And if you need to do that, I would still just ask you to wait until after next weekend.
That's what I needed to know.
And and to think carefully about what is the result that you want and how can you best get those results.
Right.
And when do I get released from hell? Anytime soon? These are all slow moving.
Yeah, but they've all been dancing on your chart for a long time.
Right.
Things have been, well, and it all waited. It all waited to this last week or so. I mean, things have been, you know, except for a car accident in spring, and, you know, mostly things have been really steady and good, and the shit has just hit the proverbial fan.
Well, again, the full moon on the equinox was directly on your Saturn, in your houses of long-term health, short-term health, and work.
Mm-hmm.
And directly setting off that T-square.
T-square.
Yeah. So I think that got triggered a condition that's been going on for a long time. Have you been working with this woman for at least 9 months?
A year.
Yeah. So you were working, she was your Saturnine journey. She was your 12th house step. And it may be time for you to change, with Uranus coming up to oppose your Saturn, to change the nature of your work for a while.
Yeah, I've been
to do something different than you've been doing.
Yeah.
With that aspect of it. What do you say, Anne?
Yeah, I would say that makes a lot of sense. And I think also that the full moon that we just had, she's also having a natal excitation. Her Venus and her Mars are in Pisces joined on the north node. And right now in the sky, Venus and Mars are in Scorpio joined in the seventh house. So they're waking up her, you know, waking up her natal condition. And that's a very strong aspect on the north node there, which says, you know, time has come to move, and okay, off you go. And so when the two of them join, they wake up that natal. And the part of her, I think, the part I'm hearing is the sense of loss around the connection, you know, and that sudden abruptness of it is triggering old energies from really long ago. A lot of the stuff that's up with the Venus and the Mars and Scorpio is about how we're valued or not valued.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not valued, it's charging our chart with a little extra hit of energy because we're like, what do you mean I'm not of value? Whatever. And that's not the point. The point is to take it internally and to say, okay, in my heart of hearts, I know I did a great job with that woman. And whatever her dynamic with is with her son, I can still send her love on whatever plane, and I can also let he knows he was an asshole. You know, when my grandmother died, my uncle decided he wasn't going to bury her. Now, the woman went to church every week, you know, and when she figured out TV had a mass on it every day, she watched the mass every day. You know, a great church, hard church to live in, great church to die in. Catholic, Catholic, Catholic. My uncle did not give her a mass of Christian burial. My aunt was hysterical beside herself, but she couldn't get him to do it. I couldn't get my father to step in because a man talking to a man, maybe he'd behave himself. So I did what I could at the graveyard site, and my uncle was, like, threatening to not send the casket. And I'm like, what is your deal here? You know, this is your mother. Give her a mass of Christian burial. No, it's not convenient. I'm like, but when men lose their mothers, particularly if they're a Cancer male or a Scorpio male, Scorpio moon male or Cancer moon male or Cancer male, they get nutty, okay? Because they, you know, they can't really necessarily express the emotion.
Yeah.
And I did it. I took care of my grandmother. I mean, I got her a priest. We buried her and, you know, had a little ceremony by the gravesite. She did not have a massive Christian burial. But I did what I could, you know. My aunt, you know, still cries about it. And grandma's been dead 10 years. And my aunt will say to my uncle, Anne was right. You should have given her, you know. But, like, when it was going down, nobody stood up to kneel because nobody knew what to do. And they're all mourning the loss of this woman. And he, with his Scorpio moon, was working out his mother shit. So he basically didn't give her a mass after she went to church for years. But, you know, on the other hand, realistically, one missed mass, the last one, you know, I did sprinkle some oil. I mean, it was, like, such a big drama in the family. And You couldn't get there. You know, you just couldn't get there because he wasn't able to go there, and he got so strange. So you loving his mother as she's sick, you're basically showing him up because he can't go there. He's so paranoid about her dying or whatever. Whatever it is that's making him act like that, that's his karma. And trust me, the whole family is a witness to it, so they all know he's going wacky. And somebody in that family is going to say something to him. Because this kind of behavior does not go unnoticed, and people often, when a death happens, they do kind of do strange things. So people get really weird around death, and men about their mothers, especially if they're moon in Cancer or moon in Scorpio. So I would just say to him, I'm trusting you're going to do the honorable thing, you know, and when she dies, go to the funeral, and you can say something to him then in person. And it's not in writing. And you say, you know, what you did was a really shitty thing. You know, whatever you need to do. But I would be careful now just because there is so much stuff. And in your chart, it's triggering your abandonment issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you got to kind of own those. It's not about him. It's about you being abandoned by this woman that you were attached to through some idiot who fired you. And it's bringing up your old stuff. So better you spend the time digging in your own abandonment stuff and why it's such a trigger. so that you own it and you're comfortable with it and you go, okay, that's what it was. That's what that what he brought up for me was something really profoundly healing because I get it now. And I understand that she was a vehicle. My nurturing and loving her helped her, but it also helped me.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and he's,
yeah,
you know,
that's not lost on me.
He's the mean guy that sits there with no love, huh?
No, that's just not lost on me, you know? I mean,
right,
I understand what I get from what I give.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the focus.
I get that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, going back, and we should probably get on to the next person,
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, we got a bunch
but
of them
just
behind.
Going on, one last quick thing. Pluto won't come back to your Saturn. Saturn has moved past your Saturn. Uranus is coming up to oppose your Saturn, but your chart's coming back alive. Your progressed moon just left 2.5 years, and Cancer is now in Leo. It really
mm-hmm.
feels like it's time for you to dive into life and to live a much more extroverted, connected next few years than you have the last year or two.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's progressing into my fifth house. Yay.
Right.
The moon. And a year or two from now, Pluto's going to hit my midheaven, so I guess
mm-hmm.
I should just hold on, huh?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
totally.
Good
all
changes.
Right, we're going to go on to the next.
Okay.
I know. Thank you so much.
No mean email.
Sure.
Sit
Take
on
care.
It at least a week, okay? Bye.
Good night.
Definitely sit on it. Don't send it. It's not worth it. All right. Okay. Hello, 716. Are you there?
Hi.
Hello. How can we help you?
Hi. I'm Lauren, and I'm calling from Buffalo.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi,
Buffalo.
Hi, guys. And I can give you my birthday to start with. Is that good?
Sure.
Great. Yes.
Okay. It's June 4th, 1989.
What time?
At 1:28 p.m.
1:28 p.m. in the
yep.
afternoon? Buffalo?
Yep.
Buffalo. Yay, Buffalo. Okay, girl. We love Buffalo. All right. Okay, so Lauren, what's your question?
Well, I have a couple of things going on. Actually, right now I'm just sort of feeling really, really anxious. And right now the things that are going on with me, I'm just about to graduate college this June, so I'm kind of in my senior year. I'm working on taking the GREs and thinking about graduate programs. And it's kind of, I just kind of feel really a lot of anxiety about that, and I'm not quite sure where I'm going to end up going or where I'm going to be, and that's kind of what's got me all crazy right now. And other than that, I was just sort of maybe wondering if you guys have the time, if you could tell me just vaguely what's going on with me in relationships right now.
Okay.
But mostly the school stuff.
We got 6 minutes, so we'll go fast.
Go for
so
it.
Do you actually need the master's for your career?
It would be a PhD in psychology.
Yeah.
Okay, but
and
to
I
be
think
able
you're going
to
gonna be good at that.
Yeah, I think you are, but when do you need to do it right now? Because your chart looks like it wants to take a little bit of a break, which may be why you're feeling anxious.
Okay,
right.
I don't need to do it right now.
Uh-huh. One more
time. What I get, you know, the best schooling for psychology is to go live life with both fists for a while. And Mercury just came across your ascendant yesterday, so you may find that it's easier to think and express yourself in the next month than it was last month. In a few weeks, even days, your progressed moon leaves 2.5 years in Pisces and heads into Aries, and I think it'll be very much easier very soon to speak clearly about what you want and where you want to go next, both in relationship and in work. And you've had, you know, your sun is at 4 degrees of Cancer, and Venus is at 0 degrees of Cancer, so you and Uranus is natally at 4 degrees of Cancer. So you're really in transformation right now and will be for at least a year. So it is a hard year for you to decide what you want to do. How can you keep your options as open as possible rather than close them down? You know, if there's a way you can get into graduate school and then do deferred and do 1 year off and then head into it, that would be wonderful.
And the GREs stick for a little bit. You can take them now while your brain is practicing in mental land because you're in school. But I don't, you know, your chart isn't really speaking, hollering, take me to graduate school. It's hollering,
yeah.
let me put down some roots and figure out what I want to do with my life a little bit. And I think if you apply, you know, apply to programs where you can defer, because I think when you'll hear in January, it looks like a positive yes, because Saturn's going to be trining your Jupiter. But I don't know that your chart really wants to do more school right now. I think it looks like it wants a little bit of a break and a little time
yeah.
to do something fun and then to go back to school. And when Saturn gets to Pluto, which is about a year or so from now, 2 years from now, or even when Saturn gets into Scorpio and it's a little more towards your second house, to me that's a more natural time to go back, because then your Venus is engaged and your higher education mind is engaged. So I'm not adverse to going to school, but if you decide to take a gap year, it's not a bad idea. Or to do a year
right.
of research where you work for somebody. Are
exactly.
you going to do the clinical or are you doing experimental psychology? Are you there? Did we lose her? Lauren?
Hello?
I think we lost her.
Well, if she comes back on the podcast.
Sorry, Lauren. I don't know where you went.
I've got a couple of emails saying that the signal's been coming and going tonight.
Eh,
that
okay.
That if she, but she can always go back to this podcast later.
Yeah, she can go listen to the podcast. Wow.
And that the, I agree with you completely, if that next year, she'd be good in experimental psych, but I'd like to see her in clinical psych, and I think
yes.
that's what she's really interested in.
I think so. That's,
but
yeah.
I think she needs a year at least of, you know, working in a homeless shelter or working with women who are, you know, do some front lines work where you're approaching psychology with a little less naivete.
Right.
I just see homeless families. Mm. Maybe part-time, a volunteer while you're going on and doing something a lot more fun. But it feels like getting to know herself, doing her own therapy next year, studying alternative approaches to therapy and doing some clinical work would be, then she would hit graduate school knowing what she needed out of it.
Right.
And
right.
with a lot more understanding and determination. She's got the real capacity to give a voice to the people who don't have a voice themselves.
Right.
And I think that, you know, some form of psychology or social work will be fantastic. But I'd
yeah,
love to see her really dive into it first.
Right. The rising sign is Virgo. So the Virgo, Mercury goes to Mercury in Cap. So one of the things that Virgos do is they get very anxious if they don't have the credentialing to do it, or they don't have the experience to do it. And one of the things that grounds the chart and makes it feel way less anxious is a little practical experience. So even if she worked in a battered women's shelter or she did something where she was saying, oh, okay, I'm good at this. It would pave the confidence, and it would take away a lot of the nerves about going on for an advanced degree, because she actually knows it. I had a client with this, and she wasn't sure she wanted to be a lawyer or not, so she went and got a paralegal degree, which takes a year, and worked for a couple of years in an office as a paralegal, and then went, okay, I like this, I'm going to go be a lawyer, because the Virgo part likes to try it out first. And I don't know that she's tried it out yet to know that that's what she really wants. She's definitely interested in people, but is it what she really wants for her work? And that's, I think, the key. So trying out something, Lauren, really helps. And the British lady is saying we have 10 seconds. The show has come to an end. We didn't get all our callers. We're sorry we didn't get the guy who wrote the letter. We're sorry. We'll work on it. And hopefully next week we'll have, we also probably
everything
should put a little timer and
much more easily.
Turn people off and say, okay, we've got to stop now. You got one question. At any rate, forward we go. It's a great week. It's the week of September 27th. This is Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York at my bright red desk, and I'm joined by my pal, Heather.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and we both have our email addresses on the Blog Talk Radio site, and we and Mark Woltz, our dear friend who's not here tonight, are all happy to work with your chart individually if you would like to hire us for a reading.
Yes, that would be great. And in the meantime, listen to the show, tell your friends about it, and tweet it. I learned how to tweet this week, Heather. It was very exciting. I've never tweeted before, but I tweeted a couple times. It's like so cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, so anyway, have a great week, folks. We'll see you next week. Remember, everybody's really a little over the top, so just kind of smile and say, oh, why don't you sit in the chair and I'll get you a cup of tea.
Yes.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.